In Acts chapter 13, we have the commencement of the missionary work of the New Testament church. We could say here we have the establishment of the first missionary society. The opening verses of this chapter detail for us how the church in Antioch was led by the Spirit to separate out men to go forth and to bring the gospel of Christ to new areas unreached. To go out and to reach people with the gospel that yet had not heard. The church in Antioch was blessed with men that were teachers and preachers of God's truth. They were greatly blessed with these men. And it was out of this pool of men that God chose two men to go forth and to bring the gospel to other nations and to preach to the Gentiles. Verse 2 tells us, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. God called these two men, Paul and Barnabas, out to do a specific work. Verse 4 tells us how they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. It says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed. And so these men were not only called by God the Holy Ghost, but they were sent by God the Holy Ghost. And we see the church at Antioch concurs with this, because in verse 3 it tells us that they sent the men away. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. These two men, of course, already mentioned, are Saul and Barnabas. And it's these two men that are sent forth by the Spirit of God from the church in Antioch to go forth and to bring the gospel to yet unreached areas, unreached Gentiles. The first four verses in chapter 13 are, we could call, the commencement of Paul's first missionary journey. They are really the commencement of the missionary work of the New Testament church. Last Lord's Day evening, we considered the conversion of Cornelius and how God had thrown open the doors, the gospel doors, to the Gentile world. Cornelius, a notable and recognized Gentile, is converted to Christ. And the truth of his conversion and of God's grace in his life is demonstrated in the fact that Cornelius was a man filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes upon him and comes upon his brethren. And we read there how they magnify God. But now in Acts chapter 13, we have what we could call the next stage of this work of bringing the gospel to the nations and going out into the Gentile world with the truth of God. For the Holy Spirit calls, separates, and sends Barnabas and Saul to go forth to the Gentiles and to bring the gospel to them. And you know, it's interesting to note how that the church in the book of Acts is a church that is continually going forward. It is continually going forward. It is what we can call a pioneering church. It had that pioneering spirit going into new areas, bringing the gospel to yet unreached people, bringing the gospel to those that were in darkness. Yes, we can say that here in the book of Acts, the church was knowing or knew such great blessing. God's power has been poured upon them. And they were being energized by God, the Holy Ghost, continually. Nevertheless, it has to be said that the church of Jesus Christ always ought to have that pioneering spirit. That spirit of going forward and seeking to win others for Christ. Seeking to gain more ground and more territory. We ought to have the attitude of Caleb of old when he said, now therefore give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Caleb wanted more. He wanted more. He knew how the Anakims were there in those mountains and fenced cities. But he said at the age of 85, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. That was his attitude. He wanted to take more ground for God. He wanted to go on and take the mountain for God. Go forward. He had that pioneering spirit, so to speak. And that was exactly the attitude of the early church. A pioneering spirit. A spirit that went forth with the gospel to conquer and to gain more for Christ. And you know, that ought to be our spirit today as God's people. You know, in the church today, there is the attitude of preservation. We must hold what we have. But we must go forward. We must seek to win others. We must continually be about the business of going out with the gospel. And going forward with that pioneering spirit. Oh, that God would give each one of us that desire to see new ground taken and to see the gospel reach into our communities and into the areas in which we live, and that the kingdom of Jesus Christ might be extended. Barnabas and Saul left the church in Antioch, and they went forth with the word of life. The first place they come to hear is the place called Salamis. And then afterwards they removed from this place, and they went to a place called Paphos. And in Paphos, God blessed the preaching of the gospel. And God came and he was with his servants. And we see that there is a conversion. The conversion of a notable man of that country speaks to us here of how he is a deputy. And so he was a man with some responsibility. His name here is given as Sergius Paulus. And this man is converted from false religion unto the true God. And this evening I want us to look at this man's conversion and to learn some lessons from this man who was the first known convert of the New Testament missionary cause. Hear this man, he is the first known convert of the New Testament missionary cause. The first thing I want us to notice is that there is the battle for this man's soul. There is a battle for this man's soul. Verse 8 tells us, "But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." As Paul and Barnabas arrive in Paphos, this man, Sergius Paulus, calls for them. And he desires to hear the word of God. Verse 7 tells us this. "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God." This man, he desired to hear the word of God. We don't know why. We don't know why this notable man desired to hear Paul and Barnabas speak. Perhaps he had heard of how God had blessed in other places, and that signs followed the preaching of the gospel. Perhaps he'd even heard about Cornelius. He was a notable man. He was a man with authority in the Roman army. And perhaps he'd heard about Cornelius. And he wanted to hear the message of God, the message of the gospel. We don't know. We don't know why he did desire to hear the word of God, but he did desire. In verse 7, it tells us he was a prudent man. It means he was a wise man. He was someone that would consider a matter. He would not just trash the truth and cast it off as a nonsense. But no, he would give himself to the truth and seek to come to an understanding of the truth. He was a prudent man, a wise man, and he desired to hear the word of God. Whoever is the truth of the gospel is brought to him by Paul and Barnabas. We see that there is a false prophet there by the name of Elymas. And Elymas tries to hinder him from the faith, for he withstood the truth of the gospel. It tells us here in verse 8 that he withstood them. He withstood the message that they brought. The word withstood means he resisted it. He stood against it. He stood in opposition to it. He opposed it. And as Paul and Barnabas preached to this man, Sergius Paulus, this man, Elymas, he opposes the truth of God. He opposes the gospel. That was his desire. So that Sergius Paulus would not hear, but rather he would be turned from the faith. Paul and Barnabas preach to him. But as they do this, this wicked man stands in opposition. He stands in opposition to the truth, so that Sergius Paulus will not believe. What happens is, there is a battle for this man's soul. That's exactly what has taken place here. There is a battle for this man's soul. That which delivers the soul, that which is life-giving and holy and righteous, is presented to him. But the powers of darkness and wickedness, they come to oppose the truth. They come to stand in opposition. The battle is waged here between righteousness and wickedness, between that which is true and that which is false. And here we have this poor man, Sergius Paulus, and he's caught right in the middle. There's Elymas, and he's preaching a false truth. And he's opposing the truth of God. He's peddling a lie. Paul and Barnabas seek to preach the gospel of Christ and of grace. And so we see there is a battle for this man's soul. And that battle for souls is a battle that still rages today. As the word of God is preached, there is the struggle within the heart and within the mind of the sinner between God's way and righteousness and the way of this world and wickedness. Oh yes, my friend, as the word of God is presented once again tonight in the gospel to you, the devil would seek to have you and he would battle for your soul that he might sift you as wheat, that he might destroy you. Because that was exactly Satan's plan for this man, Sergius Paulus. He sought to destroy him. And that is Satan's plan for your life. He seeks to destroy you. This is his goal. This is what the devil's plan and purpose is for you tonight. That you might be destroyed. You see, the devil hates God. And he hates God with a perfect hatred. He hates God with a perfect hatred. And in his hatred of the holy God of glory, he seeks to destroy man. He seeks to destroy man. That has always been the devil's purpose. Why? Because man has been made in the image of God. That's why. Man has been made in God's image. And this is why Satan has attacked man. That is why he attacked Adam and Eve. Because he hated God. Because Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. And Satan hates God. And as he looked upon man, it reminded him of the God of glory. And he hates that. And so he attacked Adam and Eve to destroy them. And that is still the devil's plan for your life. That is still the devil's purpose for your life. He still wants to destroy you. He wants you to be damned. Christ has died to redeem a people unto himself. And in John 17 and 22, Christ says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them." That is God's purpose in salvation. That you might be united to God, and by grace, Christ might be seen in man once again. The likeness of God might be seen in man once again. That is God's purpose in salvation for you. In Ephesians 2 and 10 it tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We are Christ's workmanship. That's what Christ's plan is for us. That we might be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But that's exactly what the devil hates. And that's exactly what Satan opposes. And yes, he has got a different plan for your life. It is the plan of destruction and of damnation. And he will present every lying thought and word and every worldly allurement so that his plan for your life might be fulfilled. He is a liar. He is a liar. And even as the gospel is preached tonight, he comes with all his lies and all his wiles, and he opposes the preaching of the gospel. And he tells you, you don't need that. That's for somebody else. You're good enough. And he presents you with all the allurements of this world. He gives you all the pleasures of this world. What for? So that you will reject the gospel. So that you will turn away from the faith. Even as Elymas sought to turn away Sergius Paulus. Oh, the devil has got one plan for you, and it's this. It is that you might burn in hell. That's his plan for you. And there in hell, every resemblance of God might be erased of your soul. That's the devil's plan for your life. Oh yes, he will tell you a whole lot of other rubbish and lies about how you can have a great time out there in the world, but no, this is his plan. This is his plan, to turn you from the faith, from that which is life-giving. This was Satan's plan for Sergius Paulus. This is why he sent this man, Elymas, to turn him away. You know this man, Elymas, we meet him in verse 6 earlier on in the same chapter. And we're given there his name. His name is Bar-Jesus. which means son of a Savior. That's what his name means, son of a Savior. But when Paul speaks to him in verse 10, he says, you're a child of the devil. You're a child of the devil. You're there doing the work of the devil. And we see how he does the work of the devil. In verse 10, it talks about how he is full of all subtlety. Or he is a subtle one. This word subtlety comes from a Greek word that carries the thought of setting bait for a fish. Setting bait for a fish. And that's exactly what this man Elimas was doing. He was setting bait. Why do you set bait for a fish? That the fish might be attracted to the bait and not see the hook. Not see the deadly hook. And that's exactly what Elimas was doing. And that's exactly what Satan does. He sets the bait. But we don't see the hook. The damning hook, and that's his purpose for you. That's the devil's purpose for you. Oh, I would urge you tonight, do not be caught in the trap of damnation that the devil will leave for you. Do not let the devil have his way in your life and in your soul. His way is the way of destruction. His way is the way of damnation. It's the way of death. Because he hates God. And he hates God's way. And so we see there was a battle for this man's soul here. Notice not only the battle for a soul, but notice the bringing forth of the Scriptures. There was the bringing forth of the Scriptures. Verse 10 tells us, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thy child of the devil, thy enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Elimas was doing the devil's business in resisting the truth and perverting the right ways of the Lord. But Paul and Barnabas were doing the work of Christ. And they do this by bringing the Scriptures of truth. They do this by bringing God's Word. The battle of Sergius Paulus' soul was one in which Satan was fighting. But that which Satan was fighting against was the Word of God. He wasn't so much fighting against Paul and Barnabas. But he was fighting against the Word of God. And you know, there's great comfort in this. Because the Word of God, the Bible tells us, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is powerful. Paul and Barnabas bring the Word of God. Verse 7 tells us how that Sergius Paulus desired that he would hear the Word of God. Also notice in verse 10 how that it was the right way that this man tried to pervert. The right way is God's way. In verse 12, it tells us how that he believed the doctrine of the Lord, or we could say the teaching of the Lord. The teaching of the Lord. And so we see Paul and Barnabas bring to this man the Word of God. They bring the right way. They bring the teaching or the doctrines of God. As Paul and Barnabas speak with this man, Sergius, he is one who is not only ignorant of God, but also he has this in his ear, this false prophet. How do they deal with this? How do they deal with his ignorance and the lying words of Elimas? They set before him the truth of God. That's how they do it. They bring him the gospel. See, that is all that is needed. That is all that is needed. Is the gospel of God. Is the word of God. That alone will convince men of sin and their need of Christ. And when Satan comes in all his wickedness and lies, what will silence him? The Word of God. The truth of God's Word. We can think of Christ when he was tempted. What did Christ say to Satan? It is written. It is written. He directed Satan to God's Word. To the truth of God's Word. Note here the effect of God's truth. It paralyzed the purposes of Satan. It paralyzed the purposes of Satan. Verse 9 tells us, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Paul filled with the Holy Ghost here. Now this filling of the Holy Ghost that is spoken of here is not speaking about how Paul was filled to carry out his duties as an apostle. He was a man that was filled with the Holy Ghost and he was carrying a specific role in that early New Testament church as an apostle. But this is a special filling. This is God suddenly coming upon Paul. And so that all that Paul does and all that he says here can be considered the very words and actions of God. The very words of actions of God. God comes upon Paul. And as Paul speaks, it is as if God himself is speaking. And we see this confirmed from the fact that the judgment he pronounces against Elymas is carried out. For in verse 11 it tells us, "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." You see, what Paul said was God speaking to this man. And God's judgment was immediately carried out. This man doing the devil's business was so aggressive, so arrogant in opposing the truth of God. But the power and authority of God's truth leaves him powerless. Leaves him weak and powerless. Satan might have a plan of destruction for your life and soul, and he does. But God's word reveals a different plan. A different plan. A plan that is able to deliver you from the power of Satan. A plan that reveals the way of life and righteousness. And that plan, of course, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. God's word is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this book reveals to us. It reveals to us the truth of Jesus Christ. That is the subject of this book. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And we see that right from the book of Genesis, right to the very book of Revelation. God's purposes for man in Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis, we see how that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. There it's speaking about Christ and how he was going to come and destroy the works of the devil. In Noah's Ark, it was a picture of Christ. How that in Christ we are safe and we're delivered from the wrath of God. All of the sacrifices of the Old Testament and Exodus and Leviticus and all the sacrifices throughout the Old Testament, what did they speak to us of? Of Jesus Christ. And how he was going to come and make sacrifice for sin. We can think of the types of the Old Testament. There was Joseph. He was the brother that was hated of his brethren, but yet he was loved of his father. What a picture of Christ. He was the one who was loved of his heavenly father, yet he was hated of his Jewish brethren. And they slew him. Think of David. He is the king. Again, a great type of Christ. Solomon, the wisest man, a type of Christ. Making through the types of the Old Testament, and they all point to Christ. When you think of the New Testament and the Gospels, well, it's the revelation of Christ. It's God with us. It is Emmanuel, God walking upon the earth. It's the message of Christ. The book of Acts is the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ. The epistles are the edification of the Church of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is the final return and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This book reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the theme. That is the subject. And that is why it's a word of power. That is why it is a saving word. It's a word that is able to save even the darkest of sinner who truly believes. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of light, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ." Holding forth the word of light. That's what Paul was doing. He was holding forth the word of light. Why? So that he might be able to rejoice. Rejoice in the work of Christ. Rejoice in souls being saved. And tonight, as the gospel is preached once again, as the message of Christ is set before you, the Christ of this book, we hold forth the word of life. You might be able to rejoice in the day of Christ and the day of judgment. Yes, the devil has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is a purpose of death and damnation and of destruction. But this book reveals another purpose. And it's one of life and of light and of salvation and of hope. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas bring to this man, Sergius Paulus. They bring to him the truth of Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And then we see here the believing unto salvation. The believing unto salvation. For verse 12 tells us, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. As Sergius hears God's word, and he sees the effect of it upon Elymas, he is astonished, and he believes. Romans 10 and 17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This man heard, and he's seen the evidence of it, and he believed. What an example he is. What an example he is to so many today. So many who have heard the gospel of grace. So many who have heard the word of God preached on many occasions. What an example this man is. He not only heard, but he's seen the effects of it upon the life of Elymas. He's seen the authority of God's word upon Elymas. And he believed. How many people have we seen converted by God's grace? How many people have you viewed and you've seen their lives? You've seen God's grace in their lives and those lives changed by the power of God. And what are those lives doing? They're preaching to you the gospel that it is the power of God unto salvation. How often have you sat in a meeting and you've heard of people testifying and how they were in bondage by sin? They were held in the grip of sin, but then they believed in Jesus Christ and they were saved. And you have seen and heard the power of God. And yet tonight you continue on in your sin. You continue on in your sin. Sergius was a prudent man. He was a wise man who believed when he seen the effect of God's word. Only a fool, after seeing such an effect, after hearing the message of the gospel, would reject and go on in their sin to be damned. Notice here what he believed. He believed the message of righteousness in Christ. That's what this man Sergius believed. He believed the message of righteousness in Christ. In verse 10, Paul clearly stated that Elymas was an enemy of all righteousness. And he perverted the right way of the Lord. That's what Paul said concerning Elymas. He was an enemy of all righteousness. And he perverted the right ways of the Lord. Paul was preaching Christ when Elymas done this. Paul was preaching the truth of Christ. He was preaching the gospel to Sergius Paulus. And Elymas comes and he opposes that gospel. And what does Paul say to him? You're an enemy of all righteousness. You're someone that's perverting the right ways of the Lord. And so you see what Paul presents to Sergius is the righteousness of Christ. Because Elymas, as he opposes it, he opposes all righteousness. So therefore, what Paul and Barnabas preach is the righteousness of Christ. As God deals dramatically with Elymas, and as he does this, Sergius Paulus believes. He believes that which Elymas opposed, the righteousness and the work of Christ. That's what he believed. He trusted in that which Elymas opposed, all righteousness. You see, that is the focus of every true child of God. That is the focus of every true child of God, that in faith they come to see the righteousness of Christ. They come to see the righteousness of Christ. We have none of our own. When God opens our minds and our hearts, we realize we are unrighteous. And we are undone. And there is none righteous, no, not one. And we realize that we are unrighteous before God, and we have got none of our own, and we're condemned because of that state of unrighteousness. We have got no merit to set before God. We have got nothing of any value in of ourselves to give to God. But then we see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. the perfect righteousness of God's dear Son. And what do we see in him? Someone that will give us acceptance with God. Someone that will give us an inheritance in heaven and value before the throne of grace. We see in Jesus Christ the one that is able to meet our need, that need for righteousness. Or as Jeremiah puts it, he is the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Paul testified to the church at Philippi when he said, I found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The righteousness that is of God by faith. And you see, that is what we need tonight as sinners. We need the righteousness of God. Because in our own unrighteous condition, we are condemned. And Elymas, or Sergius Paulus, seen that the righteousness that Elymas opposed was the righteousness that he needed. The righteousness of Christ. And he entered in and he believed. And he was saved. The hymn writer says, all the worth I have before him is the value of his blood. That is the blood of the perfect righteous Lamb. Sergius Paulus believed in the righteousness of Christ and he was converted. He was saved. What of you tonight? Have you ever seen yourself before God in your natural condition as being unrighteous? As having nothing and no merit? Have you ever seen in the Lord Jesus Christ a perfect righteousness that is pleasing before God? And have you ever come, even as the Apostle Paul came, by faith, to the righteousness that is of God, and embrace Jesus Christ? That's what it is to be saved. That's what it is to be converted. That's what took place in Sergius Paulus' life. In this man's conversion, we have two men represented in this story here. We could say that in a sense, they represent all men. There was one who opposed the truth of God. Elymas. He was a wicked man. We see here how his end was one of darkness and misery. There was another, and he desired to hear the word of God. That's what he desired. Sergius Paulus. He believed and he was converted. He received the gift of God, which is eternal life. Which one of these men represent you this evening? As you sit in God's house in another gospel evening service, are you with Elymas? Opposing the truth of God. Opposing all righteousness. Opposing Christ. Standing in opposition. Your end will be an end of darkness if you continue on in that condition. But why not come to Jesus Christ, recognizing your need of righteousness, your need of him. Call upon Christ tonight and believe, and thou shalt be saved. May God even give you grace to do so, for his own name's sake. Amen.